Hey everybody, welcome to John Wayne Lied to You, the storytelling podcast featuring me, John Wayne, your old pal. I'm just sitting here in Wayne Manor, enjoying a cup of coffee in the Library of Evil with a pipe of old Grandpappy's medicine, and just happy to be here today, and I thank you for being here as well. As I've said before, we are on the Mockingbird Network here in Houston, and proud to be a part of that. We are. So there's a lot of great shows on the Mockingbird Network you should check out. The Stacks, Honey, I Shrunk the Binge, Let's Compare Notes, Polly Wanna Podcast, the list goes on. One of the things that I mentioned this because, El Jefe, Boss, Grande, Extraordinaire, main woman in charge of the Mockingbird Network, the lovely Miss Brenda Valdivia, sent me my numbers earlier this week with, you know, the podcast. It's relatively young. This is going to be the 9th episode, and you know, I just got my subscriber list, you know, number wise, and I was pretty happy with what we have. But you know, I'd like to see it get bigger. That's what she said. I have a little bit of a competitive spirit to me, not where art is concerned. But numbers, those are hard facts. Numbers are something you can count. For instance, 1 to 2, 2 to 3. 4 to 5. If you count by twos, you go 2, 4, 6. See, that's real. That's not art, it's numbers. That's why I have a little bit of competition there. So I'd like to see us get a lot more subscribers. So if you're maybe one off listening to these, or you know, maybe have a friend that you could reach into their purse in the cubicle next to you while they're on the phone, and grab their, or you know, they're on their desk phone, grab their cell phone, and just go to their Apple iTunes app and just subscribe to John Wayne Lied to You for them. They'll thank you for it. They don't have to know about it right away. They'll find out, and then we all win. Don't we? I think so. Anyway, we're here to tell another story, my friends, another tale from my life, the things that I have experienced. If you listened last week to the episode BFFs, I talked about it. That was a tattoo related story about friendship and such. And this week, I've decided to do another tattoo related story. However, this is not about me getting a tattoo. This is something completely different. So it's a story filled with angst and sexual tension, changing bodies, and the Yellow Rose of Texas. This week our story is The Yellow Rose Boner Exploder. When I was starting 10th grade in high school, just right at the beginning of the year, I would say then was when my body began to go through the change. No, not menopause, some form of puberty, I guess, is what you would call it. There's many different aspects to it, and just different phases of the moon that affect you differently, at least I've read. But the thing about starting puberty or going through puberty as a young man, you get these boners all the time for no reason. It's like your body is doing like random system checks, you know, like, oh, let's make sure we can still breathe. Check. Okay, got that. Let's make sure we can still wiggle our toe. Check. Got that. You know what? Let's check the boner again. Go. All systems go to the boner. And then you get this boner. And but it's like then your body's not satisfied with that check or the last 5 checks that they did within an hour, so they just keep running the system process over and over again, and you just the result is a lot of boners at any time, awkward times, the night time, the right time, all the time. Boner. Boner here, boner there, everywhere, a boner. Mayor. That's if you were speaking to the mayor, you would say it like that. But so anyway, I'm 15 years old, starting high school, 10th grade year of high school, and I've begun this boner process. One thing that was interesting about my boners was you could almost set your watch to it. It was very, very timely, you know, kind of like a what's that Old Faithful, you know, when the geyser erupts, you know, you watch, you know exactly what time it's going to happen. I knew exactly what time I was going to get my boners, and I had to like try to make accommodations for myself. My school started, we started at 7:25. So my first class that year was history, and I would pretty much, no matter what, rain or shine, snow or sleet, when I sat down in my chair desk in history, when that bell would go off and the class would start, I would have a raging erection that just for no reason and would just last, sometimes all class. You know what? Now that I think about it, after the bell rang, is that like a Pavlovian response? Was somebody doing mind experiments on me? I have no recollection. I guess it doesn't matter, because I would get these boners, right? And it was just like weird, because if they didn't go away, like when class was over and I had to walk, you know, you gotta kind of position holding your books over you weird, or untucking your shirt or something like that, maybe hunching over, like, oh, my back hurts, you're just hiding a boner, you know. You could do the tuck, the up tuck. That's a popular move where you tuck it up into the waistband of your pants. But I was never that, like, I don't know, smooth. Like, I think you got to have a good, you know, you got to be skilled at sleight of hand if you're going to be sitting in class and maneuver yourself enough to get your boner up and into your waistband if it's not already pointing that way. I don't know. Anyway. A good thing about this, a small saving grace, was that there was bathrooms right across the door, the hall, from that class. So if I, you know, timed it right, bell would ring, I could kind of dash out, go right into the bathroom, and kind of chill myself out, and then re-enter society. another thing about this particular time in my life when I was getting these weird boners is we had rows of chairs, you know, rows, and I was in like one of the first rows, maybe the third chair back, but there was a girl who sat behind me, and I believe her name was Shauna, and she was a talker. Like, for first day out the gate, like, sits down in her chair, just starts talking to the people around her, like, life story shit, what's going on, I don't even know. I'm kind of a shy guy at that point, so I wasn't necessarily one to just like turn around and be like offer my opinion on whatever she was talking about or try to add to her story. She was already talking to other people, you know, and I would just kind of sit there happy no one was talking to me, because this boner situation was really taking most of my mind share at the time. So Shauna would come in and talk to everybody. Very rarely she would try to kind of throw the conversation to me, like ask a question, and I would just kind of like half turn around over my shoulder and just like grunt an answer out, like, yeah, oh yeah, I don't know, you know, something like that. It's probably close to what it sounded like. And then just kind of turn back around and pretend to be, you know, involved in whatever the fuck I was doing. Anything to look like I wasn't trying to will a boner away. Sometimes I would do things like ask to go to the bathroom during class and like sneak out over and go into the boys' bathroom and jump up and down. If you've listened to, I think it may be like the second episode. It's called Caught, where I talk about, I also reference the jumping up and down to get rid of a boner in that episode. And I, this is kind of where I got that idea from. I first developed it in high school. It was in its testing phase. And, you know, it wasn't perfect every time, but, you know, once I got the rhythm down, I feel like it became a solid technique. But I digress. I would sit in class, boner on strong, listening to this girl just yak, yak, yak away behind me. One day, she begins a conversation that is very interesting to me. It piques my interest greatly because she is talking about getting a tattoo. Now, if you, some people know me, you don't know me, whatever. I like to smoke weed and I like to get tattoos. I'm heavily tattooed. I have a lot of them. Yes, I've gotten them for mostly stupid reasons, but that it's because I love the art of tattoo, and I was always enamored with it. Perhaps another episode will go back to the back to the day, the origin of where I actually got into tattoos as a young boy, but that will be a different story. Now this girl who's yacked for half the semester about dumb shit, who I haven't really wanted to talk to, is talking about something that I'm very interested in. She brings up that she's been going into this tattoo parlor that opened in our neighborhood of where I lived, and it was very like it captured my imagination at the time because I lived in Spring, Texas. It's like a suburb of North Houston. If you're not familiar, it's the suburbs. And at that time, like this is like the mid '90s. There weren't like tattoo parlors on every fucking corner. You know, like now, you know, you drive down Westheimer and it's like 89% tattoo parlors, and that's cool. You know, but this wasn't something you saw every day. I couldn't even tell you if I'd actually maybe seen more than two real tattoo parlors in my life up to that point. But all of a sudden, here's this one. It opens in a strip center in the neighborhood, and it's called Bubba's Skin Pen. It's no longer there. Rest in power. you know, I never actually went in. I tried to see. I wanted to so badly. The windows were tinted, really, like, blacked out, kind of, so you couldn't really see in the windows, but every time, like, if I drove past there with my parents, I would always look out to try to capture a glimpse of what was inside that storefront. I wanted to know so badly. Never did. Now, if you're someone who's into tattoos and you get tattoos, there's certain things you notice about certain shops that you'll be like, eh, maybe I don't go into that one. It's not to say that it's any certain thing. It may be a combination of things you see where you're like, gonna go down to let me go down to the next one. This probably had most of those characteristics where I don't necessarily think now in present day if it existed I would go get tattooed there, but I don't know. It's gone now. We can't test that theory out. But anyway. Sean is talking about how she's been going in there and, like, I guess chatting up the owner, maybe the titular Bubba in this situation, and that she's going to get a tattoo. Now, I'm like, what the fuck? You're going to get... I'm in my mind, you know, of course, because I'm not speaking. I'm way too shy. I'm like, you're going to get a fucking tattoo? You're 15 years old. Like, we're in the same grade. How the fuck is this happening? Well, I guess also part of my naivete at the time was I didn't realize that, like, I guess how much girls could kind of manipulate the situation at times and kind of make things go the way they maybe wanted to, using certain skills available to them. But when I think back on it, those context clues were there, and I'm just too much of a, hey, I'm John Wayne, hey, boner. That's all I'm not picking up on the subtleties of this type of thing yet. But I'm like, you get a fucking tattoo, that's crazy. Like, I literally thought about that for days. Until one day, maybe a couple days later, maybe this was like over a weekend, it wasn't like the next day, some time had passed, and Shauna arrives, sits behind me, immediately starts with the yapping, but this time she's talking about how she got her tattoo. So my ears perk up. I'm just eavesdropping like crazy on this conversation. As she's talking about it, yeah, I got it. No, I mean, it hurt some, but it wasn't too bad. And, you know, it's right here on my hip and da-da-da, and it was this. And so he gave it to me for this, and I da-da-da. Like, this whole, like, story of particulars that I didn't necessarily care about, still was interested in hearing, but mainly I wanted to see this tattoo. I had to see because I wanted one so bad. I wanted to get tattooed bad. I wanted to ask her a million questions, but I'd never really talked to this girl before. I've been sitting in front of her. I've pretty much just blown her off the entire year of anything she's fucking said to me. So I don't feel like I have the confidence to turn around and now just like ingratiate myself into her conversation because it's about tattoos. But then I hear some words that I wanted to hear, which were, do you want to see it? Now, she wasn't talking to me. She was talking to the other people behind her. And she says, that, and, you know, of course, I'm like, yeah, let's see. Yeah, let's see. Let's see. So she's like, I have to undo my pants to pull down to the side so you can see where it is. And she's like, I'm not looking at it right now. I'm just hearing her describe. So I'm thinking like, okay, like, you know, where girls get it, like a popular place I've seen a lot of girls get tattooed, like right at their hip, you know, where your hip bone is, kind of close to that, just below the stomach. You know, you see like that kind of thing. I'm like, okay, that's what I'm picturing, right? So everyone's kind of like, I hear the reaction. Oh, cool. Oh man, that didn't hurt. Whoa, boo. You know, and I'm like, dying. I'm dying. I'm dying for two reasons, though. One, I really want to see this tattoo. And two, my boner is out of control today. It's like one of those heavy flow days, I guess, a woman would have, but this is like a mega boner day. Like, my dick all swole, girl. Like, achingly so. Maybe this conversation about the tattoo was maybe, you know, some subconscious thing was like fueling more, like the brain was like, send more blood to the boner, tattoo talk, all systems. But maybe not, who knows. So I feel this tap on my shoulder and I'm like, oh. And Shauna leans up to the, you know, my shoulder, to my ear, and she's like, hey, do you want to see my tattoo? And I kind of tense up and just nod my head, you know, like, yeah, yeah. She's like, all right, look. She's like, check it out. And I turn around in my seat and, you know, look over into her chair desk where she is seated and positioned in a way that I can see down into her lap. And she has her pants open and pulled off to the side. And to reveal her tattoo, which was much lower on her hip than I thought, which says a whole lot of things about Bubba that I don't even want to get into, if allegedly. But I see the tattoo first, and it's a yellow rose. kind of maybe in a traditional style, but it's not great. The lines, I mean, this is already like, what, a day old or 2 days old? Maybe she had it over the weekend, I don't know. But the lines are already starting to blow out. And that means, like, if you don't know, like, when you, the outline of a tattoo, those lines have to be, you know, very, very precise, you know, of a certain thickness depending on the design. And they've got to be tight, but if, you know, where they actually stay looking like a fucking line. If the lines are blown out, it means that they've, like, kind of exactly what it sounds like. The ink is blown out from the line, blurring that line, making it not look like a straight line, basically. So these lines are way blown out already. The color is not that super great. I mean, you can look at it and tell that it's a yellow rose, but not the best. But, you know, I'm 15, I'm looking, I'm like, that's cool, wow, I can't believe you got a fucking tattoo. Then something else catches my eye. Just down below the tattoo, where she has her jeans and panties pulled down, just below the tattoo. And I look over and peeking out from the waistband of her purple panties is a single, dark, wispy pubic hair. Now, in case you've forgotten, let's recap this. My boner is out of control this day. I'm inches away from a girl's half almost exposed areas of mystery, you know, and then that hair comes out, and I see it. Now I'm not trying to be like, oh, I like them hairy, or I have some kind of hair fetish or anything. It's not. It wasn't anything about that. It was what that hair represented. That hair represented that this woman's vagina was there, and it was close, and holy shit, pretty much. So when I saw that, and then I just, like, my mind starts going into overload, overwhelm, and I just kind of like, wow, it just, now I lose the ability to speak, and I'm pretty much just like, wow, that's really cool. And then I turn around in my seat and just kind of like sit there, and I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. I feel like my pants are going to explode open. And it was not a good feeling. So I endured it for as long as I could, which wasn't too long, for a long time, because, you know, my mind is racing. I'm seeing, like, tattoos and pubes and I don't even know what else in my head racing through. And I ask if I can be excused to go to the bathroom, to which I am from class, and I kind of, I think I did the lean over as I went to the door just to try to avoid the looking like I had a situation to walk off. And I just, like, dashed right across the hall into the bathroom and got in a stall and just stood there. And I was like, I didn't know what to do. I started the jumping, the jump theory. I was jumping up and down, trying to jump away this boner. It's not going away, folks. So we're really left with only one option here. Well, two. You want to pull the fire alarm, and everybody leaves, and I hide in the bathroom and masturbate, or I just masturbate now. That's what I had to do. I had to take care of the business. I had to clear my mind. It was like a hard reset, no pun intended. And it was good. And I was able to rejoin class after that. Don't start casting your judgments on me. Like, none of you have ever masturbated at school before, or work, or Barnes & Noble. Anyway, went back to class. Everything was fine. I was able to finish class. and it was good. Now, I wish I could say that, like, this was the, I figured out the key now. I was master of my domain, and the fact that I would have control and complete dominion over the kingdom of my boners from then on, but no, that wasn't the case. My brain seemed to run its system check over and over again all the time, every morning, 7:25 in class, and it went on like that all year. And I remember, I never really talked to Shauna about Bubba's skin pen or her tattoo again, or pretty much had really any kind of conversation with her after that, for the rest of the year. And on the last day of school, we're sitting in class. Class is almost over, and Shauna taps on my shoulder again, much like the time she tapped on my shoulder to show me her tattoo. And I kind of look over my shoulder, and I'm like, yeah? And she said, I hope that I never sit behind someone like you ever again. You didn't talk to me all year. And that was it. She got up and left. And I don't think I ever had another class with her for the rest of my, you know, the last 2 years of high school. I'm not even sure if she stayed and maybe moved away or graduated from there. But I was left just to sit there. When she said that, I was just kind of like, what? My mind is like, why didn't she like me? I didn't say anything. But that was it. I didn't say anything. And she wanted people to talk to. She liked to talk. I said she was a yapper. But now when I think back on this, I think, yeah, you know what? Maybe I was an asshole kid. Maybe I could have been more social. I should have been more confident in myself. Maybe it came off. You know, my shyness came off as, I don't know, being a dick. It was a long time ago. But one thing I can say is that I have changed to where I am now hyper extroverted. I love to talk to people. I love to meet new people. I love to have conversations with people I just met. I love to be around people, and I love to talk. So I was able to hurdle that part of my life. And as far as the boners go, yeah, I mean, everything still works. Everything still checks out. We just don't have these random checks as often. So that's another thing I kind of conquered, I feel. However, somewhere out there today, Shauna still has and will forever have a shitty, blown out, fucked off yellow rose tattoo right by her vagina. All right, there you have it, guys. The yellow rose boner exploder. You just never know what's going to happen in those times of teenage development and tattoos and testimonies. Anyway, thanks so much again for hanging out with me and listening to his story. Like I talked about before, if you haven't subscribed to the show, please subscribe to it. I'm working right now, currently. Hopefully in the next episode or two, this will be available across other platforms like Stitcher and stuff if you have an Android phone. But for now, you can go to the YouTube channel, which is John Wayne is Dead, all one word, and the episodes are up there every week as well, for you to check out that way. Also, I do, I'm still very excited about my new story collection that's out, John Wayne Lied to You, a mostly true account of the adventures of a modern day hero. 12 of some of my favorite stories that I've had in Grown Up Story Time from Boottown here in Houston, which is an excellent show. Go to boottown.org to check that out. But go to johnwayneisdead.com to check out my books, or just go to Amazon, you search my name, check it out. I've got Charge Land, Ant Poster, The Porn Star Retirement Plan, John Wayne Lied to You, this new book. Very, very excited about my book on Grindhouse Press coming out in October. We'll talk more about that as it comes up. But help old Uncle Johnny out. He needs to wet his beak here a little bit. So please go and pick up one of my books this week. I'd really appreciate that. I think that you would appreciate it as well. So thank you guys so much. Big up, much love, Mockingbird Network, right near our beach, boy. Go to johnwayneisdead.com also for all of the John Wayne is Dead punk rock shows that are coming up. There's videos on there and all kinds of cool stuff, man. Anyway, until next week, guys, keep those boners strong. The stars at night are big and bright. In the yellow rose of... Wait, that's not how it goes. Shit.
Mockingbird Network.